Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on in these. Like I said before, these are some of the weirdest abduction stories I've ever read. The only thing, she said, that repelled her was his strange, inhuman smell. She looked deep into his eyes and said, "Why me?" And the answer came telepathically, "Because we love you." Some female abductees do claim to have seen samples being taken from their boyfriends if they're abducted alongside with them, which is... Maybe it was quite literally the abduction of human beings for the purpose of bringing about a renewed age of Noah in the modern times. Okay, so a lot of people see orbs. What are orbs now? Are orbs spiritual entities? Because it seems like orbs are connected to these aliens, connected to these abductions. This is another common thread that we're seeing through all of these pretty much.
Stolen from the voicemail box of a stripper who recently passed the bar exam and fact-checked by a man in a rented tuxedo who keeps referring to the moon as corporate property. Welcome to 21st Century Dystopian, the only secret society on the entire planet that keeps the society a secret from itself. Life and whatever happens after a man buys night vision goggles at a flea market? And what exactly is responsible for a hotel elevator that only stops on floors that the guests don't want to go to? And now, waddling into the broadcast like a taxidermied prophet with court dates in three different counties, a true 21st century dystopian, the G-host, the Jakester, Johnny Jakes.
For decades, individuals who have claimed to have been abducted by aliens have been describing being watched, being paralyzed, being scanned, sampled, lied to, emotionally manipulated, returned with missing time, like entire scenes of their lives had just been cut out, and in the most extreme situations, even impregnated or otherwise sexually assaulted. All of this used to sound totally weird, impossible, stupid, dumb, just things that it's like, why are you even talking about this? What are you hoping to gain from this? But now we live in a world where governments are once again debating UFO, UAP, and alien transparency. And of course, embryo editing debates are not really science fiction anymore. It's not really a matter of if we can do it, it's a matter of should we do it, and they've decided, if we're going to, we're just not going to tell them. So suddenly the abduction archive doesn't really feel like an absurd fringe myth. It feels like sort of a dark glimpse into the world that we are inevitably going to inhabit, the world we are currently building, where I think we're probably going to be forced to sort of integrate with some type of new species. Alien, biomech, human hybrid, some kind of spirit thing. I don't know what it's going to be, guys, but I definitely feel like the human race is moving towards some sort of event where we are going to have to integrate with something else, and it's going to fundamentally change the way that mankind operates. I really feel this. You guys know I feel this. I talk about this a lot. And that's what makes all of these stories that I'm about to tell you some of the creepiest, weirdest, nastiest alien stories, abduction stories that I could find. These aliens in these accounts, they're not really behaving like explorers, like people who have our best interest in mind. They behave like these, almost like these workers, these technicians that are operating inside a program or an agenda, and they're collecting reproductive material, they're monitoring bloodlines, probably ancient bloodlines, strong bloodlines, bloodlines that had heroes in the past, so may present the possibility that they will again produce similar hero-type figures in the future. And they're doing other things too. They're studying emotion. They're building hybrids like they did in the days of Noah. They're hiding memories and timelines, and they're speaking very coldly and dramatically about the future and survival and higher planes of existence. But listen carefully, because that language, those words that I'm saying, it's everywhere today. What used to be conspiracy theory is coming, it's bubbling to the surface and becoming regular media. And more I'm seeing mainstream TV shows that will be on Netflix or Prime or Hulu or HBO talking about these fringe things in a more professional, realistic way, in a way that you might talk about something that is potentially possible versus the way that they talked about it, you know, let's just say 3 years ago, where it was, you're crazy to even consider that this is possible. So the whole alien integration and sort of experience is becoming very, very mainstream in a different way than it used to be. It used to be mainstream in the way that it was like, oh, this is so cool and mysterious and blah, 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 blah. But now it's almost like, just, will you just wipe us out, please? Like, it's almost like people have moved beyond the aliens are interesting and into the, like, just do it. Just do something. We're tired of wondering what you are. They're telling us 10,000 things. What are you? Are you real? Are you a digital anomaly on my screen and nothing more? Are you a species of air entity that we just haven't discovered because we don't have the technology to discover invisible entities that live in the air? Are you a demon? Are you an angel carrying something? Are you Vladimir Putin? Now, there's one theory regarding alien abductions, and it's that the aliens are actually trying to interbreed with humankind because they can have no offspring of their own. It lines up nicely with the mission of the Watchers, the angels that descended from heaven in the Bible, and in the Book of Enoch, in the Book of the Watchers, mated with human women. Because all watchers, all angels are allegedly either masculine or nothing, but they appear to be masculine because, you know, you have like Michael and Gabriel, they all have male names and stuff like that. So they do appear to all be masculine, therefore not being able to produce children of their own. And so they see these beautiful human women and they say, I'm going to have children with them. Okay. And so they do, and the result are the Nephilim, these giant offspring with horrid features, monsters. You guys have heard the story 1,000 times. And when the monsters die, when the giants die, they produce demons, okay? Which are these sort of spiritual entities as well. It's essentially the corrupted spiritual half of the angel-human union. And sometimes when I'm pondering these things, and the evils that are coming about in this world and how scary they seem, and yet they are not causing anything to actually really happen, you know, like we're not doing anything about it collectively as a human race. It always makes me ask the question, if Christ came here today, not to like purify everything, but if he just came to ask you specifically a question, and that question was, what do you see that is not like the days of Noah? But it's like, if in those days there were sky beings, it's not like every single person on the planet saw the Watchers come down and mate with the human women. It's not like everybody on the planet alive was watching this happen in real time. Okay, because angels are spiritual entities. They have to make themselves visible. They're not automatically visible. And that's kind of like today. Millions of people going about their lives who have never seen an alien. Never seen a UFO. Okay, so it's kind of like that right now. And yet, we are all talking about the bioengineering, the CRISPR stuff, the CERN stuff, the Nephilim stuff. We're all talking about it, just like we were in the days of old. We're all doing our sins, terrible, terrible sins, including cannibalism, pedophilia, murder for no reason, just on the trains, on the buses, in the streets, in the preschools, everywhere. Human sacrifice, assassinations. human hybridization projects. But one of the scariest details of the signs of Noah, to me and to a lot of people who study these things, are of course the Watchers and the Nephilim and how they interact with humanity. And so without further ado, let's get into some of these alien abduction stories that reminded me of that story from antiquity when angels came to Earth to, or at least appeared to man upon a mountain, to take their women in order to experiment with them, have sex with them, and mess around with them. Sounds a lot like what aliens do in abductions, right? In 1979, Tracy Knapp, a 21-year-old musician, was driving from Los Angeles to Las Vegas with two girlfriends when they saw a light swooping down at them from the sky. Under hypnosis, she remembered that as the light had whizzed past, the car had started spinning, whereupon all three of them had started screaming and crying. The car was being lifted up into the sky when Knapp remembered seeing hands coming in through the window. When they touched her, she became limp and they lifted her out of the car. From then on, she lost sight of the other women and did not see them again until they were back on the ground. She recalled laying down with her legs pointed upwards. Two creatures were pressing on her and one was cutting her internally with long-handled scissors that had very small blades. They then doused the wound with a fluid that burned her. The procedure continued for a long time. The aliens seemed to have been cutting threads before pulling out their instruments and removing a sack containing a tiny fetus. This was put into a small silver cylinder about 3 inches wide, which was in turn put into a drawer in the wall, along with numerous other live fetuses. So, we're seeing the classic Watcher abduction, probably the subduing of the woman so that she doesn't really have a say in the matter. Although there are speculations that the women in the Watcher days way back then were actually deeply enamored by the they were thrilled to give themselves to the Watchers because they were beautiful, majestic entities. And so some people believe that they actually willingly gave themselves. And believe it or not, in some of these alien abduction stories, there are women who express feeling intimately like drawn to these aliens in these moments. So but this woman is impregnated essentially, and then fetuses stolen from her. This sounds like a Watcher, female woman, Nephilim creation process. Here's another story. Virginia Horton was a corporate lawyer who lived on the USA's East Coast. She was married with a family and had an ordinary everyday life. In 1979, friends told her that there had been an item on the NBC Nightly News about the Burchard abduction. It was then that she remembered strange things happening to her in the past. In the summer of 1950, when she was six, she had been on her grandfather's farm in Manitoba, and she remembered that she had gone to the barn to collect eggs. The next thing she remembered was that she had been in the yard again. She had felt an itch on the back of her calf and had pulled up the leg of her jeans to see what was causing it. Was it a tick with alpha-gal syndrome or perhaps Lyme disease? No, it turned out to be a neat surgical wound, as if it had been cut with a scalpel. But there was no hole in her jeans, and she did not understand how it could have happened. She now asked her mother about the incident, but did not remember it. However, she did recall another strange event that occurred when Horton was 16. They had been holidaying in France and were having a picnic in the countryside when Horton and her brother had gone off to explore a nearby forest. And they had become separated, and her brother had been searching for her for about half an hour when she suddenly reappeared, her dress splattered with blood. She had no explanation for this and had claimed that she had been gone for no time at all. When pressed, however, she had remembered meeting a beautiful deer. Horton then contacted the ufologist Bud Hopkins, who arranged a regressive hypnosis session for her. And it was then discovered that when she was in Manitoba, she had been taken into a bright room in a spacecraft by gray aliens. And they had said that they were from far away among the stars and that they just wanted to take a little piece of her back with them. She remembered that some type of apparatus on the end of a retractable arm had been used to make an incision in the back of her leg. In the woods in France, she had seen a deer, a gray deer, which had large, black, hypnotic eyes.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hopkins concluded that the deer may have been a cover story that had been implanted into her mind by the aliens in order to cover their tracks, similar to how some people see owls. She again remembered having been on a spaceship. The same aliens whom she had seen when she was six were also there. They had shown her a star map and had told her that they were from another galaxy. They had given her a lecture on the importance of ecology, biodiversity, and the preservation of endangered species, including the human species. All pretty advanced ideas for when this was going on in 1960. They had also taken her for a short trip in their flying saucer, in which they had ascended upwards for 100 miles or so. She had been examined on a table, and they had stuck an instrument up her nose, which had given her a nosebleed, thereby explaining the blood on her dress. And I don't think that they were just checking to see if she had COVID. Judging by the sighting reports, thousands of aliens could be visiting Earth. Just if you go by all of the stories, all of the sightings, all of the exclamations and proclamations and disclosures of all of the archives of sightings and visitations, it would be thousands of aliens visiting Earth. But what have they come for? If they're coming, what have they come for? Because it seems like body parts, it seems like fetuses, and it seems like blood. All things that the Watchers and the Nephilim also demanded of mankind. So ask yourself, are they really here to study humankind, or are they here to harvest mankind? Are they here to help us, or are they here to consume us? Some abductees believe that they have simply come for a good time, as if this is some kind of playground. In 1957, 4 years before the Hills' close encounter of the fourth kind, a Brazilian man named Antonia Vias Boas had what can only be described as a close encounter of the fifth kind. Close encounters of the first kind are simple UFO sightings. Close encounters of the second kind are sightings of UFOs accompanied by the physical evidence of an alien craft, such as grass having been pressed down where it landed, broken twigs, scorch marks on the ground, injuries having been inflicted on animals or humans, etc. Close encounters of the third kind are those in which the human observer has contact with intelligent beings from spacecraft, while close encounters of the fourth kind are alien abductions. But the fifth kind, abductions of the fifth kind, involve contact of a more, shall we say, intimate character. At least, that's what Vias Boas said had happened to him. The 23-year-old law student had experienced close encounters of the first kind twice before. And listen, we said this was in Brazil. I'm going to come out here and say this. There is a lot of alien and UFO activity going on in South America. I don't know what's going on. Almost every single South American that I have ever talked to about these matters has always said, oh yeah, they've seen stuff. It's wild. It's like almost every, and they buzz around their volcanoes and their mountains, and I don't know if they're using the volcanoes to go inside the earth. I don't know if they're using the volcanoes to harvest some kind of energy. I'm not sure. But they see these things all the time. So experiences with entities and UFOs, craft and stuff, it's not that far out of the realm of the normal if you're from South America. Regardless, I continue. This encounter took place. The 23-year-old law student had experienced close encounters of the first kind twice before. The first was on the 5th of October in 1957, when Vias Boas and his brother saw a bright light shining down outside the bedroom window of their home near São Francisco de Sales in central Brazil. Vias Boas worked on the family farm in order to pay his way through law school, and the second sighting took place 9 days after the first, when he was out plowing on the night of the 14th in October. He again saw a bright light, which appeared to be hovering over the field, 150 feet above him. This time, he chased the light in his tractor. The light darted around so much, however, that Vias Boas eventually gave up his pursuit. The light then broke up into multiple beams before disappearing completely. Again, his brother had also witnessed the phenomenon. On the next night, Vias Boas was out plowing again when he saw a red light coming straight toward him. This time, he was alone. The light came so close that he could see that it was attached to an egg-shaped craft, which had three 30-foot-long legs. When it landed, Vias Boas was seized with fear. He tried to drive away, but the tractor stalled and its lights and motor died. This is a thing that we frequently see. We see electronic devices, we see mechanical devices, we see vehicles and buildings just lose power. It's an interesting thing that comes with alien abductions or close encounters. Four aliens then clambered out of the spacecraft, and they grabbed him and dragged him to the spacecraft's ladder and forced him to climb aboard. The aliens were about 5 feet tall, with disproportionately large heads. As the epidemic of alien abductions increased, this obviously became the typical description of the extraterrestrial perpetrators of encounters of the fourth and fifth kind. And listen, I used to say, see, that's why it's fake. They're all reporting seeing the same thing, but we have no evidence, but it looks exactly the same across all these different people. Maybe that's just the disguise that these entities are using. That's their flesh suit. Why do they look the same to all these people who have been abducted or had contact with them? It's because they need a recognizable disguise to hide what they really are that they know humans can handle. Remember the whole do not be afraid or be not afraid when angels appear to mankind in the Bible? Exactly. So if these are fallen angels or demons or something, they're going to need to have some kind of body that we can handle that still separates them from us, that still makes them other, but not necessarily horrifying to us. Anyway, on board the alien spacecraft, Vias Boas was forcibly stripped, and his body was anointed in a strange, colorless and odorless viscous liquid. And the aliens wore gray overalls, gloves with five fingers, and helmets, and talked in a strange language which he could not understand. In another room, two other aliens cut his skin and took a sample of his blood. They then left him alone and naked for about half an hour in a small round room. Gas was pumped into it. It smelt foul, and Vias Boas vomited. He recovered, however, when a naked female alien came in. She was humanoid, around 4 feet 6 inches tall, with fair skin and high cheekbones. Her eyes, though blue, were oriental in shape. Her face was wide, with a pointed chin. Her hair was blonde. Evidently bleached blonde, because the hair in her armpits, as well as her pubic hair, was bright red. Despite her strange appearance, Vias Boas became aroused. That's what he said. He said that she had the most beautiful body that I had ever seen on a woman. High, shapely breasts and a narrow waist. She had broad hips, long thighs, small feet, thin hands, and normal fingernails. She was much smaller than I am, and the top of her head only reached my shoulder. Alone with this woman, who made it clear to me what she wanted, I got very excited. I forgot everything. I grabbed her and responded. It was a normal act, and she behaved like any other woman. And they did this twice, because Vias Boas is a little pervert. Satisfactory though the experience was, however, Vias Boas did say that it would have been preferred that this was a human woman, because he would rather have made love to a woman to whom he could talk. She did not know how to kiss either, he said, but he imagined that her playful bites on his chin amounted to about the same thing. Maybe she was just avoiding his vomit-tainted breath. Despite having had this intercourse, she then took another sperm sample from Vias Boas and stored it in a test tube. And then, before she left, she rubbed her stomach and pointed upwards. Vias Boas interpreted this to mean that she was going to have his baby, which would be raised somewhere in the skies. The disgruntled Vias Boas later whimpered, "That was what they wanted of me, a good stud to improve their stock. In the final analysis, that was all it was. I was angry, but then I decided not to worry about it. After all, I had enjoyed some pleasurable moments, even though some of the grunts that I heard coming from the alien woman's mouth at certain moments nearly spoiled everything, giving me the disagreeable impression that she was an animal." Vivid, I know. I apologize to everybody out there to whom that was too much, for whom that was too much. But I feel like it is an interesting story. This story was quite long, and it goes on, but basically this guy went on to become a lawyer. He had a wife, four kids, he became a lawyer. He never made any money off of this. He never went any more public than the initial reporting. He never tried to make a movie or get a book deal or anything like that. This was just a thing that he reported having gone through, and that was pretty much the end of it. Here's another story. One night in 1981 in Birstall, West Yorkshire, Jane Murphy went to bed exhausted. But a few hours later, she awoke. She didn't open her eyes, but she knew that something was wrong. She could not hear her husband snoring, and the feeling in the room just wasn't right. When she eventually opened her eyes, she found herself in a field near to her mother's house. She did not know how she had gotten there. There was a huge metallic UFO floating above the field, and then she saw a group of humanoid figures approaching her. One of them held a cloth in its hand, which it put over her nose and mouth. She feigned unconsciousness. But the aliens gave her an injection that knocked her out anyway. She came around in a strange room surrounded by aliens. One of them was 7 feet tall. He looked like a male human, but his eyes were totally black. Again, we're seeing these black eyes. These black eyes aren't reserved just for the Greys. They're on all of these entities that are connected to the Greys in a strange way. A young alien woman told her that she must bathe, so she slipped off her nightdress and got into a strange tub that seemed to match the contours of her body exactly. There was a table in the center of the room. All the aliens had now gone, except for the tall one, who brought his face close to hers. "I just stared into his big black eyes," she said, "and I knew what was going to happen." She's unsure of whether he took her by force or seduced her. She was completely mesmerized by his eyes and did not resist. She said, strangely enough, there was no movement, and she didn't appear to actually be feeling anything physically, but emotionally and spiritually, she said, she was feeling the greatest feeling that she had ever felt. The only thing, she said, that repelled her was his strange, inhuman smell. She looked deep into his eyes and said, "Why me?" And the answer came telepathically, "Because we love you." She was disappointed that his profession of love was so cold. There was no emotion in it at all. It's very interesting. This is how I would expect a fallen angel to speak to the woman, "Because we love you," cold, unfeeling, right? Because they don't love you. Telepathic communication, stuff like this. Not really experiencing any physical sensations, but regardless, in a sort of hallucinatory state where something is indeed happening. Afterwards, the other aliens, including several females, examined her while her partner got off the table and left the room. Then she was given a gynecological examination with a long instrument, but felt no pain. She was later taken on a tour of the ship and saw other humans on board. She was also invited to try out some pills and was given a drink. Murphy had the impression that the aliens communicated by means of telepathy. Suddenly, she found herself back in her own bed. It was 6:30 a.m. and the alarm clock had just gone off. She would have dismissed the whole incident as having been a bad dream had she not had a strong desire to take a bath and wash the bizarre smell of her alien lover off of her body. It was not pleasant. In fact, not human at all. When she had a bath, she discovered puncture marks on her body where, she said, the aliens had injected her. Then she felt a distinctive sensation in the pit of her stomach, which she remembered experiencing when she had been pregnant in the past. She went to the doctor, who ascertained that she was not pregnant, but had a strange infection, which was eventually cleared up with a course of powerful antibiotics. That was by no means the end of the story, however, for within a month, the aliens were back, swarming all over the house and bombarding her with questions about human reproduction. She would wake at night to find them standing by her bed. Although she had no recollection of it, she was also certain that they had carried her off again. Soon, she became plagued by a dream in which she actually gave birth to a blind, black-eyed alien baby. She thought that she was going mad. Indeed, she was certainly on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Her GP suspected that she had been taking LSD, and although her husband said that he did not believe that she had been abducted by aliens, her stories of having this great sex with something from outer space was putting a strain on their marriage.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
As such a thing does. So, this is another story. It follows the same exact sort of process that these other abduction, impregnation sort of stories follow. Which is coincidentally also how I imagine the whole Watcher and human woman situation from the Bible and the Book of the Watchers. It really makes me feel like all of the tech, the UFO, the surgical implements, the gray, all of that. What if it's all a hallucination? Because humans are not ready for the spiritual realm in that way. Think about it. We don't really see cryptids all that well. We don't really, you know, we can't do things of the spirit realm that well, like speak telepathically or, you know, jump through time and space or any of the other things that spirits can do. You know, be immortal, live forever, fly, go through walls. We can't do any of that stuff. And so a realm where that is happening, maybe it'll kill us. Maybe it would explode our freaking brains. And that's why we can't. You know how in the Bible it says things like, you know, we can't even comprehend? What if it is something like that? So they have to disguise this whole situation by making kind of like an alien doctor's office. And it's always stainless steel and very smooth and clean and all this kind of stuff. Because that is where a human is supposed to feel comfortable when they're going for assistance, right? A doctor's office. And then the aliens show up and they give the illusion, which seems to be a sensory illusion as well, that they are showing love. And yet, these people, these victims, are experiencing wounds and traumas. So, it's all a big lie. These aliens are not here, I conclude, to assist us, but to farm us, to farm things from our body or use our juices or body parts for their agenda, whatever it may be. And I would guess that it is to continue to create Nephilim and hybrids and cryptids, just like they did in the old days. I would guess that it is continually sinning against nature and man by doing these weird biological experiments. What else could it be? This is literally biology that we're talking about between some sort of alien species and humans that apparently thousands of people have experienced. On the evening of August 19th, 1979, 36-year-old Linda Jones was walking along the banks of the River Mersey near Manchester with her two kids, aged 5 and 15. Suddenly, the youngest shouted, "Mum, the moon is coming towards us." Linda looked up to see a huge, gray, frisbee-shaped craft hurtling across the sky towards them. It came into view from behind some trees, and she noticed some golfers playing on the greens as it approached. "This was not an optical illusion," she said. "The object had a spinning effect, and it seemed to be coming at us at an angle." For a moment, she thought that it was maybe a plane that was trying to make an emergency crash landing at the nearby Manchester airport. She pushed the children to the ground, telling them to lie flat and brace themselves, but there was no explosion, only silence. She saw the UFO pass slowly overhead. Then it dropped silently down behind the embankment that ran along the side of the river as a flood defense. The silence struck her more than anything else. It was more than just silence, she said. It was a complete stillness. She realized that not only had there been no noise from the object, but there had also been no other sound either. Neither bird song nor any traffic noise from the neighboring motorway, which was always busy, day and night. The UFO was now hidden behind the embankment. She wondered whether it had crashed and had then caught fire, or what was going on, so she ran up to the top of the embankment to take a look. Jones knew nothing, really, about UFOs, and what she saw amazed her. It was a crescent-shaped craft, maybe 60 feet across, and made from a fine network of metal. "It looked so old-fashioned," she said. "It really did look like something out of the Bible." The UFO hovered about 2 feet above the ground and seemed to be constantly disappearing and reappearing. A light was somehow suspended from the underside of the craft. She was drawn towards it, and as she approached, it became brighter. Then, an orange ball of light appeared from the far side of the object. It rotated slowly and began to move menacingly in her direction, but she continued to walk towards the spacecraft. "Now it gives me the shivers," she recalled. Suddenly, her daughter screamed out, "Mom, come back, come back." The child's voice caused her to snap out of her trance, and she simultaneously had a terrible premonition that it was Judgment Day. So this craft looks like something from the Bible, and once again, she's put into a trance, which displays how this is a unique experience for each person independently. This is a hallucination so that they can capture you. It's not real. It's a hallucination so they can pull you in to their abduction. They can pull you into their possession, if you will, similar to a demonic possession, where they can then manipulate you. Obviously, this is possible. We see this throughout the Bible. Jesus had to rescue people from this kind of situation. And this is a common thread that we continue to see. She also assumes it's Judgment Day. She's not getting a good vibe. Jones grabbed her children by the hand, turned on her heels, and ran. Her 5-year-old son was too small to keep up, so she swept him up into her arms and continued to flee. The spacecraft followed them, and her terrified daughter looked back at it. "Don't look back, just run," shouted Jones. The ground seemed to undulate beneath them. It was the strangest sight that she had ever seen, she said, but they kept on running until they got home. When they burst through the front door, Joan's husband Trevor was home. He asked what the matter was with her eyes. When she looked in the mirror, the skin beneath them was red and scaly. The fact that Trevor was home at all was even more peculiar, because he usually worked until 10 p.m. and didn't get home until half past. Jones had seen the UFO at around 9 p.m., and the journey home would have taken only 10 minutes at walking pace. She had therefore lost nearly an hour of time. Jones said that she had got the impression that the UFO had made time slow down. Afterwards, she found that her menstrual cycle had been disrupted and that there were marks on her body. 18 months later, Jones underwent regressive hypnotism. Just before she had turned to run, she recalled seeing an alien emerge from the UFO. She then had the feeling of floating before finding herself in a dark room with 6 small creatures of oriental appearance. This is the second time now we're seeing this oriental appearance, which is interesting. They had slanting eyes, dark hair, and yellow or olive skins. She had the feeling that she had seen one of them before. They laid her on a table and examined her. Bright lights were shown into her eyes, but the exact details of the examination were wiped from her mind. Some weeks after the incident, Jones noticed a waxy discharge, and her doctor told her that she had a miscarriage, although she protested that she had not been pregnant. She was then sent to a hospital to see a specialist who found scar tissue on her fallopian tubes of the type caused by an ectopic pregnancy. That is, when a fertilized egg develops in the fallopian tube rather than in the womb. At first, she could not account for this, but then she remembered another strange incident that had occurred one day in 1972 when she was out with Trevor. She had not seen a UFO on that occasion, but when they pieced the events of the day together, they seemed to have lost 6 hours of missing time. Okay, so there's a couple things going through my mind here. One is we're seeing the same common threads, looks very much like a watcher human-woman relationship. We're seeing her distinctly describe Asian features on these aliens, and that brings me to an idea that I've been pondering lately, and that's, what if humans have discovered how to cloak themselves as other species? It would not surprise me whatsoever. I mean, we're manipulating bugs and animals and remotely controlling them and cloning them and doing all sorts of bioexperimentation and also converting animals into hybrids using machinery and humans as well, for that matter, if you consider Neuralink, that kind of thing. And it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. Don't even factor in the nanobots and the vaccines that are manipulating DNA and all that kind of blah. You guys know what I'm talking about. What if humans have discovered how to literally make themselves look different in some situations? And what she saw, maybe she was abducted by an enemy nation state like China. I don't know. I'm just saying. And though they looked somewhat human with Asian features, they didn't really look human, did they? No, they looked like aliens with Asian features. That's interesting to me. Because if it's an angel or if it's a demon, is it just getting it wrong after all of this time? I thought it was pretty easy for angels to turn into the forms of humans or the forms of whatever they wanted to. So why all of a sudden the Asian features on a gray alien or whatever? It's kind of weird, right? And something to think about. In the summer of 1979, a Cheshire woman heard a strange humming sound and looked up to see a UFO. Soon afterwards, she unexpectedly became pregnant. The pregnancy sparked a series of bizarre dreams in which she gave birth to an incredibly ugly but frighteningly intelligent child. In the terminology of ufology, this type of child is known as a wise baby. These dreams scared her so much that when she miscarried 3 months into the pregnancy, she was actually profoundly relieved. But that was not the end of the story. 5 years after her original sighting, she was awoken during the night by the same humming sound she heard before, and she then saw a tall, blonde female with blue eyes in her bedroom, who effortlessly floated her out of the bedroom window. She had little further memory of the incident and did not undergo regressive hypnosis. However, she did know that she had been examined and also had the sneaking feeling that something very important had happened to her. 3 years later, she was again awoken during the night by what she believed was the hand of a 3-year-old child holding her own. She cried out, and her husband switched on the light. As he did so, a ball of light flew out of the bedroom. Okay, so a lot of people see orbs. What are orbs now? Are orbs spiritual entities? Because it seems like orbs are connected to these aliens, connected to these abductions. This is another common thread that we're seeing through all of these, pretty much. Orbs might quite literally be a spiritual entity in of themselves, prepared to transform or manifest or move right along into invisibility. There's an interesting connection there that I haven't fully explored, that maybe somebody else has. In 1988, Barbara Archer was a 21-year-old university student who was studying to become a journalist when she became plagued by feelings of fear and anxiety. She began to experience these strange flashbacks of bizarre events in her life of which she really had no real memory, so she therefore sought professional advice. Under hypnosis, she recalled an experience that had happened to her when she was 16. She had been getting ready for bed one night when she noticed a light shining in through the window. She closed the curtains, but the light still seemed to illuminate the whole room somehow. She peeked out the window, but could see no source for the light. She looked out the other window, too, and then felt the strange sensation that there was someone in the room with her. She saw a small creature by her wardrobe, which she took to be male. Although she was puzzled by the light, she was not shocked to see him there for some reason. He touched her on the wrist, which reassured her. Then she began to float out of the window. She said that it was like being in a lift with no walls. She could clearly see first the driveway and then the house and then the rest of the street below her. She was scared of heights and her levitation made her feel nauseous. She hoped that she would not be sick. Peter Pan? Anybody? I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff in these old stories, these legends of lore that are very relevant to these types of things. And that sounds like Peter Pan taking the kids out through the window, doesn't it? Levitating them, carrying them off through the air. She floated upward until she was underneath some sort of flying saucer. By the way, Peter Pan, it's a false god. Okay? It's a lowercase g god. She floated, perhaps a watcher who has taken a different name. She floated upward until she was underneath some sort of flying saucer, and it was dark and gray and metallic. And then she noticed that the light that she had seen was coming out of this UFO. The alien whom she had noticed in her bedroom was still with her, and now more were waiting inside that she could see. She also recalled having been abducted when she was 12, and that time she had found herself in a room containing 40 or 50 tables. After she had been subjected to physical examination, a tall alien had come over to her and had looked deep into her mind. This made her feel happy, and she lay back and relaxed. She did not feel sick, just a little strange. She was scared of the smaller aliens, but she liked the taller one and thought that maybe he liked her too. She remembered that she had also been abducted at the age of 16 when she was suffering from anorexia, which had annoyed the aliens because she had stopped menstruating. When she was 21, Archer went on holiday to Ireland, from where she was yet again abducted. This time, the aliens had become cross with her because she had not taken off her clothes quickly enough. Later, she had been taken to a nursery on board the spacecraft, where there were about 20 babies in cribs. Some were in nappies, others were slightly older and were dressed in simple smocks. They all looked rather odd because they did not have much hair and because their skin was an unnatural gray color.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Clones? Look, it's so easy when you start actually researching these actual abduction accounts, and you already have a background in like manipulated biology or transgressed upon biology or biology that has been interfered with in some way. It's easy to see how alien abductions could literally just be a massive psyop for being abducted by the government or by spiritual entities who are using you for the same purposes that have been mentioned in the Bible and other extra-biblical texts. Now, the aliens had told her that she could hold one of these babies and had picked out a baby girl for her. The child had big eyes, which were shaped like an alien's, but were not as ugly. Wonder if they were black. Archer remembered feeling very protective and maternal of this baby. The alien nurse had then told her to feed it, and she had obediently put the baby to her breast. Afterwards, they had taken the baby away from her. And when Archer was told that she had to leave, she felt bad about leaving the baby behind. She had asked the aliens whether she could see it again, but they did not give her an answer. Here's another one that you will also hear some correlations in. In 1957, the 9-year-old Jill Pinzano was returning home from the library on her bike when she decided to take a shortcut through the park. It was years later, when she was a minister, that she revealed what happened next. She had stopped by a bench, parked her bike, and sat down to do some reading. There was still an hour to go before dinner. Then she wandered into the nearby wood, but did not know why. Suddenly, she felt the presence of someone beside her before seeing a strange glow. She walked towards it and found herself standing under something, and she noticed a ladder and climbed up into an alien spacecraft, where she was stripped and examined. When she returned to the park bench, it was already dark. Scared, she put her books in the basket, into her bike, and set off for home. It was late and her parents were frantic. They had already called the police, who were out looking for her, but when she arrived at her house, her parents were so relieved that they were not even angry with her. She was 11 when she was abducted, the aliens being particularly interested in the scab on her knee, the result of falling off of her bike. A tall alien stared into her eyes. Yet again, this tall alien. There seems to be a tall one that's frequently accompanied by small ones. I wonder what that's all about. But this tall alien stared into her eyes, and she found this very reassuring. The alien, she thought, really cared about her and would not let her come to any harm. When she was abducted in 1980, at the age of 32, she was given a baby to hold. It was about 2.5 months old, she reckoned, and had little hair and light skin. The alien nursemaid said that the child needed nurturing, but that they were not very good at it and therefore needed her to do it. It seems that these aliens are incapable of feeling. Like, they don't seem to have actual, any human feeling to them. The baby was quiet and seemed to enjoy Pinzano holding it. When she had to give it back, she felt an acute sense of loss, which appears to be typical. She had bonded with it, but thought that this was strange because she did not consider herself to be a very maternal person. She had only ever wanted one child, which indeed she had back on Earth. This is interesting, too, because we're seeing that the women are bonding with the alien babies. They're bonding with the half-human, half-alien babies. They are frequently describing these babies as not being human. There's something, the uncanny valley is triggered. There's something not human about them. They're kind of ugly. They don't have the same eyes. They don't have the same skin. They're hybrids. And yet the human women are feeling this urge to protect them and keep them. These maternal instincts are kicking in for this hybrid entity. That's very peculiar. And it makes you wonder if there's some kind of some sort of chemical drawing to these creatures, or if it's kind of a spell, if it is yet another angelic magic or something like that. Lynn Miller, who was a Mennonite woman who worked as a waitress, had been the victim of numerous inexplicable events for all of her life. But things began to make sense in 1986 when she was 31. She was driving to Cape May, New Jersey with her son when she saw a huge UFO hovering above the road near Tuckahoe. She stopped the car and was promptly abducted. Now, before we keep going, I assume that all stories are true until proven false. You know, all of these stories are coming out of books. These aren't coming from Reddit accounts or anything like that. These are all coming from books that were written a long time ago. And so I'm assuming that these stories are true. But going back, you know, to the story here, it says that this is a Mennonite woman. Now it's talking about her driving cars and being a waitress. I spent about 3 years living in a Mennonite community when I was younger. And Mennonites, they can only drive black cars, at least according to, you know, the group that I was in. But they can't, they don't necessarily go and work at other businesses. They're a closed community. They are very tight-knit. They don't work for the world. They don't do that kind of stuff. They're usually self-reliant and kind of, they're a community. They're set apart from the rest of society, kind of. So I'm assuming that either this Mennonite woman is not in a strict Mennonite community, or she is like an ex-Mennonite, okay? That being said, I just wanted to touch base on that, but moving on. She was promptly abducted when she exited her car. Now, separated from her son, she was forced to strip and climb onto an examination table. A tall alien then looked into her eyes and placed his hands on her head. She felt an overwhelming surge of love for him. There was a strong sexual element to this, a feeling of pleasure. Then the alien conducted a gynecological examination on her. The aliens next poked a long needle into her womb through her navel. It hurt, but the aliens put their hands on her head, which took the pain away. The aliens told her that they were implanting something in her, but did not say what. Sometime later, she was abducted again, and this time, a long black instrument that looked like a speculum was pushed into her to dilate her. It had a suction cup on it and was attached to some sort of machine. She felt a tearing sensation inside her and complained to the tall alien who was performing the operation that they were hurting her, but they continued anyway. The tall alien then pulled something out of her and put it into a fluid-filled container that was handed to him by one of the smaller creatures. They showed it to her, and she recognized it as being a fetus. The tall alien told her that it was her child and that they were going to raise it. She protested that they had no right to do so, but the alien took no notice and placed the fetus into an incubator before telling her to get dressed. The aliens also took her into another room where they showed her a chart and told her to memorize the names inscribed on it. Miller was puzzled by this, but an alien told her that it would help them. When she wondered why they needed help, the alien explained that there was a war and she needed to know these names. Although she looked at the chart, she made no active effort to remember the information on it. However, the alien moved close to her and she got the impression that he was telepathically storing the names in her memory. The next thing that she remembered was that she was again on Earth, miles from where she had stopped, in a different part of New Jersey that she didn't even recognize. She got back into her car and drove home. 2 hours were missing from her memory of events. So they teleported her car and her kid, I guess, too. But this story doesn't really conclude with what happened to her kid, so hope everything was going fine. She additionally recalled having been abducted when she was 6. Now, being a Mennonite, she was not allowed to have vaccinations and consequently came down with a disease. And for religious reasons, too, her mother would not permit her to be taken to hospital. So the doctor visited her every day, but there was very little that he could do. Miller's condition deteriorated steadily for 2 weeks until it reached the point at which the doctor did not expect her to survive the night. But the next morning, her mother discovered her playing happily on the floor. The doctor was called and found that her temperature had returned to normal and that the symptoms of diphtheria had vanished. During the night, Miller remembered she had been abducted by aliens, and they had told her that they had come to cure her. They wound a tube around her body and made her stand in a strange machine. The aliens then sat around her in chairs and watched as a curtain of blue light descended from the top of the machine. Afterwards, she was told that she had been cleansed. The disease was certainly gone, and although the doctor ordered her back to bed for another week, it was a struggle to keep her there. All she could think about was getting up and playing. James Ostino was a student at Temple University in Philadelphia when he came to the conclusion that the strange events that had plagued him throughout his life might be due to alien abduction. Fortunately for Ostino, the distinguished ufologist David Jacobs was also working at Temple University, where he was conducting research into the alien abduction phenomenon, so Ostino underwent regressive hypnosis with Jacobs. He remembered that in 1980, when he was 14, he had been with his girlfriend Monique when the aliens came to get him. Monique was switched off, he said, and Ostino alone was taken. He next remembered lying on a table which had a bright light above it. An alien pulled it down over his groin area before starting to fumble around. Ostino found this a bit embarrassing, but something in his mind kept telling him that it was all right. The alien seemed to be showing his genitals to a colleague. Ostino asked what was happening, and the alien then put his face close to his and implanted his mind an image of the naked Monique. He got an erection, whereupon they attached him to a machine and took a sample of his man juice. In this case, there was no witness to this procedure, but Some female abductees do claim to have seen samples being taken from their boyfriends if they're abducted alongside with them, which is... Next, Austino was shown what his man juice would be used for. The aliens took him to a room that was full of incubators, which looked like fish tanks with tubes coming out of them and were illuminated by a strange blue light. There were 60 or 70 of them. He was allowed to inspect them more closely and saw that there were fetuses inside. They looked like little bald hamsters with black eyes. The fetuses floated in a liquid that gurgled and bubbled, and they had wires attached to them. As far as he could tell, they were human fetuses, but their eyes were very different. He was abducted again when he was 21, when he was given a mind scan. Then, when he was 23, he was abducted for a third time and saw a young woman wearing a white smock who was helping the aliens. She took a dip in a large oval pool containing a luminous green liquid and urged him to join her. So he jumped in. The pool appeared to be about 5 feet deep. The aliens who were watching looked very pleased. The woman encouraged Austino to lie back and relax. On doing so, he sank to the bottom, but found that he could still breathe. The woman then got out, whereupon he began to feel numb and almost blacked out. He therefore pushed himself up, and two aliens helped him get out of the pool. He observed that the liquid did not run off of his body like water. It was more viscous and had to be slopped off by hand. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in these. Like I said before, these are some of the weirdest abduction stories I've ever read. In 1989, before we keep going, I want to say it's interesting how some of these abductees, they keep being abducted. What's up with that? Like, it's not like a one-time thing. It's like a two or three, sometimes four-time thing. It makes me wonder if only certain people can be abducted. And because only certain people can be abducted, maybe it's a faith thing. I don't know. They say that aliens flee at the sound of Jesus' name, right? So maybe it's a faith thing. Maybe these people have committed some sort of, have entered into some sort of contract with evil somehow. Maybe they are experiencing near-death experiences and they are non-believers. I don't know, something like this perhaps. Maybe they, and so when they experience these things, they're these abductions, what they're actually experiencing is sort of a glimpse of death. That's an idea that I've been kind of kicking around. But why would the same person be being abducted multiple times, multiple times? It doesn't really make sense to me unless these people who can be abducted are slim pickings and the first abduction perhaps weakens the individual to the point that they are easy to abduct multiple other times, maybe? In 1989, the 34-year-old alcohol rehabilitation counselor Andrew Garcia was abducted. After having his mind scanned, he was introduced to a 5-year-old girl who looked like his niece, only with big black eyes. She looked deep into his own eyes, which evoked all sorts of intense emotion in him. He wanted to hold the child and love her. She touched him, but then pulled back, which upset him. He did not want her to leave. The aliens who were watching did not understand this and studied his emotions intensely. A tall alien then stared into his eyes, whereupon Garcia calmed down. "This is how it has to be," he was told. The alien said that he could see the child again another time. Now, when you place all of these cases side by side, the pattern becomes harder to dismiss, even if you remain skeptical about aliens. The deer that was not a deer, the child that was not fully human, all of the children who are not fully human, the pregnancies that vanished, the missing time, the surgical wounds without torn clothing, the loving words spoken without any actual feeling. These aren't random details. They all orbit one central fear.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
there are instances where a human being can be taken, entered into, edited, harvested, and returned, still alive and still functioning, but no longer fully sovereign over the story that is written inside of their body. And now, with all of the alien abduction and the high tech from Palantir and Elon Musk and all of the AI and quantum and nanotech and bioengineering and the vaccines and the insects and animals that are cloned and manipulated to harm and kill us and be changed, it's all causing the fear of these stories to hit differently, because we're already surrounded by systems that track our faces and predict our behavior and automate violence and treat our biology like a little game, like something to exploit. And perhaps that's why we're not as afraid of aliens like we used to be, because our government is doing all of this stuff to us already. And because of that is why I am now like, this is all a game. This is all a game, because humans have reached a point now where I can see our own technology in these UFOs and vice versa. And I can hear our own technology being talked about in these abduction stories. And it makes me feel like this is a propaganda scheme, whether it's propaganda, spiritual propaganda, from spiritual entities who are masquerading as aliens, or governments who have wild exotic tech that we don't know anything about and are using us, our bodies, certain individuals' bodies, in the same way that they use the people that they traffic, right? It's got to be one of those two things for me. I don't know what else it realistically could be. I mean, unless you really do want to believe in a species that is out there, that is not angel, not demon, not human, and just another one of God's creations, I am totally open to that. But it would be an interesting twist for one of God's other creations from another realm to be tampering with the human story, because it seems like God has like a thing going right now. He has a thing he's doing on earth with humanity. It's what the Bible's all about. And so it would be weird to me if some sort of species from some other realm, like another one of God's creations from another zone in space, is like tampering with us and messing with our story. Because that almost feels like something that the Bible would have mentioned. The Bible does mention that it will be like as it was in the days of Noah in the end times. And so I'm kind of attributing all of these things to the things that we've already seen in the Bible, because I feel like that's what God has kind of said to do. Not invent some theory about something else that's coming from somewhere else. But that could be possible. There's nothing I'm saying that cancels that possibility out. So maybe the real horror of alien abduction was never just that people claim to be taken, but that horror, it was that they came back describing something that is so very recognizable in a horrifying way. A future where love is simulated and fake, and there's these weird overlords who aren't who they say they are. So even the disclosure would probably just reveal another disguise. It's a species that considers consent something that they don't need to have. They erase your memories. This is horrifying as well, because by doing that, they erase your timeline. Reproduction isn't considered sacred to them. It's sort of a fun little experiment, a sort of game. Unless they have some sort of mission, it is something that is to be managed, and the body becomes kind of a contested territory between humanity and this entity. It's like, some people, it would appear, these people who are prone for abduction, prone to be abducted, they have to be careful when they walk outside. Like, what is it like? They have to be careful when they get in a car? I mean, if somebody's been abducted, do they go out and just be like, damn it, I hope this doesn't happen again. I better buckle my seatbelt super tight. Or like what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is it like for those people? But returning to these stories, whether these beings were extraterrestrial, psychological, demonic, military, or something that we still don't really have language for, the message, in my opinion, is the same. This war, this spiritual war, is not just waging in the sky, okay? It is in the nervous system, the brains of people. It is in the womb. It is in the blood. It is in the archive of our memories itself. And if the modern world keeps happily marching us toward the same alien architecture that we see in our nightmares and that we read about in these biblical texts, then maybe the abduction phenomenon was never just some kind of weird fringe mystery situation of people on crack. Maybe it was quite literally the abduction of human beings for the purpose of bringing about a renewed age of Noah in the modern times. Something to think about. Anyway, thanks for watching. The life is in the blood.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.